it's always fun to stand up and speak after the financial report. It's more fun when it's a good news report. Having done this a few times along the way. And so, well, good morning, everybody. How are you? Well, you know, you're sort of good. Quiet murmurings here and there and everywhere. Thrilled to be with you. Kind of had a, how would I say this? I got called in from the bullpen yesterday. I was on my way to the gym, and I got a text from Claudio and said, hey, the guy who's supposed to speak today or tomorrow is sick. Who's going to do it? I was like, well, I know Doug's not going to do it. And I know you're asking me because you don't want to do it. And so on my way to the gym, I was like, oh, Jesus, please give me something to say. And so so I want to kind of share something with you that some important lessons that I learned. We're in this interesting time. You're in this interesting time in the church where you're waiting, right? We're waiting for what God will do next. We're waiting for how the future unfolds. We're waiting to see what are the next steps that God is going to take us on this journey. And as I was thinking about that, and I think about that a lot, and was reflecting on that, this memory came back to me. And we had moved here in 2007, lived from Kamloops, lived in a little house in James Bay at the corner of Superior and Oswego. And we went there, we lived there because the idea was we'd be ministering at the legislature. Let's just go people that work there and serve there and so on. So that's where we chose to live. And, you know, we had sold our house and we were, my rent was $2,500, our rent was $2,500 a month. And our monthly support at that moment was $2,000 a month. And so that was a little bit of a leap of faith and one thing and another. And, you know, my mom was very concerned that we weren't going to have groceries for the kids. So she increased her pledge and other people kind of stepped in and rallied around and one thing and another. But we had decided that in the process of all this move stuff that we were going to take our kids on a Disneyland vacation. And so we moved in, I think, like July 1st or something like that. And moved into our place, and you know, kind of got settled in. And I'd say probably within a week, we were on our way to sunny California. We were so excited to go that we took an afternoon ferry. Right, took the Coho, took an afternoon ferry out, and Barb and the kids were. I had gone to get in line, and they were rolling suitcases down the street to the docks because we wanted to make sure that we got out in good time. So we went, had an amazing vacation, and. And then I got back, and the whole idea was because, you know, we needed to get out and talk to churches about what we were doing and, you know, what the vision was and where God was calling us, all those things. And so part of it was communication. Part of it, frankly, was just raising money through honorariums so that we could keep a roof over our heads and put food on the table. And so we get back kind of the end of July. We had, like, the most incredible vacation. And we got back at the end of July, and I start calling my pastor friends to try and line up preaching gigs here, there, and everywhere. And you know, I knew this going in. I had no office. My office was the side of the bed that I slept on. That was my office. So I'm there making calls. I'm working on my laptop. One thing and another. And every friend that I called was on vacation. Every friend that I called was on vacation. And I should have known that because I took vacation in August at the same time as all of my friends. Lots of pastors do that. It's kind of this time where VBS is done, camp is done. It's kind of a little bit of time to downtime, catch your breath. Everybody's calm and everything is peaceful. And they go off on vacation. And all of my friends were on vacation. And this is not my most shining moment, but I'm going to share a few rather unshining moments with you today, so bear with me. But, you know, I'm in the room, and it's like, it's probably the 10th call. And it's like, well, he's on vacation, you know, he won't be back until the last week of August, blah, 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 blah. I was not very happy about this because I had quit my job, we had moved, and one thing, and I staked everything on this thing that God was calling us to do. So I may or may not have tossed the cordless phone across the room in a fit of frustration. And I thought, well, there's nobody at home, right? There's nobody to call. So I'm going to go down to the beach. So it wasn't that far a walk, really, from our place to the beach, maybe 3 or 4 blocks. So I took Zoe, our yellow lab. We went down to the beach. And I threw some sticks for her. True story, very true story. People off cruise ships thought she was a golden seal because she was a yellow dog. And yeah, okay. And so anyway, right, I'm doing this thing and I'm talking to Jesus. I'm not really talking. It's kind of more of a amped up, energized conversation. And I'm having this energized conversation, and it's like, Jesus, I've done everything you've asked me to do. I've done everything that you've asked me to do. I'm totally sold out to this. And now I'm here, and I sound like the children of Israel. And now I'm here in Victoria, sitting at the beach, throwing sticks for my dog, feeling like you've brought me here to die. And he says to me, next slide, please. And Jesus says to me, no, there should be an eagle there. There you go, that one. And Jesus says this to me. Don't worry, Tim. Those who hope in the Lord or wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And you would think that would have been good news for me. Oh, right, Jesus, I'm just going to wait on you. Except I've mellowed a little bit, but I suck at waiting. Like, I am a terrible, terrible waiter. I don't blow the horn anymore when I'm in the car, but I've done that in the past, right? But I'm just really not a good waiter. And so here is my very unholy response to this beautiful word that Jesus brings me. I didn't sign up for that. I didn't sign up for that because quite literally every person that I knew that was waiting on the Lord wound up becoming nothing and doing nothing. I'm a little A-type. I'm a little over the top. And so I kind of spew all of this out, and the waves are coming in. And honestly, right, the right thing would have been that a giant fish would have opened its mouth, swallowed me up, taken me somewhere in the Juan de Fuca Strait and kept me there for 3 days, and they spewed me out somewhere in East Souk. That would have been the right thing to have happen. But Jesus responds this way. He says, that's because you don't understand waiting. You don't understand waiting. You think that waiting is a waste of time. Is it dead? It's crackling? There we go. Well, here, you know what? I'll just turn this one off, pull it out. And so, Jesus says to me, you don't understand that waiting gives me space for me to do my part. Hang on, I'll just get rid of this thing. I won't fully throw it away, Joe. I'll leave that honor to you, right? You don't understand that waiting gives me space to do my part so that you can do your part when I get you to where I want you to be. That was 18 years ago. And I remember it like it was yesterday. You don't understand that waiting gives me space to do my part so that you can do your part when you get to where I want you to be. And then Jesus says to me, in my very stressed out, kind of, you know, hyper state, go home. Stay focused on what I've called you to do and trust me to work it out for you. So let me share some lessons that I've learned about waiting. So when we come to these seasons where we're waiting, there's some basic things that actually aren't in my slide deck today, but some really important things that we need to understand. That waiting generally is going to take, this waiting period is generally going to take longer than we want it to, right? The whole point of waiting is for it to take longer than we want it to, right? If it happens quickly, then we're not waiting, and we're not learning the lessons that we need to learn. Number two, at least in my case, right, the journey is going to be harder than I thought it was going to be. Like, I really thought that we were going to launch Leading Influence, and Ministry of Presence and Chaplaincy, and we were going to have a string of chaplains across the country, and we're going to be just firing on all cylinders, and that was going to take me 5 years, because I am highly ambitious, right? 17 years later, I'm still waiting to make an announcement about Ottawa, but I've just learned Jesus has a time, and Jesus has a way. The third thing I've learned in waiting is this, is that the effects of what I see and what's in my heart are going to go farther than what I currently see. So in my beginning, I kind of had this very small picture of what chaplaincy and leading influence would look like. But as this thing starts to unfold, and there's no time to talk about it today, it's like, oh God, you've got way bigger things in mind than what I could see. And I would say the same for City Light in this moment, right? Is that it's kind of like, well, we need to find a pastor. We've got to get this thing in place. And hurry, hurry, hurry. And go, go, go. And hurry, hurry, hurry. Go, go, go. And it's like, you know what? Everybody take a deep breath. Everybody take a deep breath. This church has been here for a very long time. This church has been here for a very long time. And this church is going to be here for a very long time until Jesus comes. Right? And Jesus is going to look after City Light. He knows exactly what's going on. He's got a plan. We just trust him in his plan. Here are the lessons that I've learned along the way. Lesson number one, I learned about my need for alignment. I am a push, press, work harder, go, go, go. I remember Claudio was talking about his middle schoolers when we were youth pastors at Colwood, like back when, the earth was drying after the flood. In those days, like I went to watch one of the young ladies in the youth group, because we didn't have any kids at that point. Went to watch one of the young ladies in the youth group playing basketball. So she was like a middle schooler, so grade six, grade seven, something like that. And I'm like, I played some basketball, and I like watching basketball, and I'm sitting in the gym screaming, press, press, press! It's girls' basketball. They're in grade six. It's like, whoa, yeah, I just did not know how to turn it off, Push, press, go, work harder, And all of that pressing and pushing and working harder leads to stress and anxiety. Raise your hand if you know anything of what I'm talking about, right? And then we stress and we push. And, it's like, yeah, I'm stressed and I'm anxious. But if I work just a little bit harder, it's going to get better. Lies we tell ourselves, right? And then we burn out. Like not, oh, I'm burned out. Like, oh, I just need a weekend to sleep. Like, we burn out, check out. Honestly, I know this probably wouldn't apply to you, but mostly because I'm too cool to wait. I mean, you're probably cool, except for you, Doug, but there, I just had to, just once. Doug and I are becoming very good friends. We have a lot of fun together. Right? But all because I'm too cool to wait. I had to put myself through all of this other stuff. It's interesting, because Jesus gives us a picture of what walking with him in alignment looks like in Psalm 23. Look at this. Here's what God's plan for my plan is push, work harder. God's plan is rest in green pastures. Chill out beside peaceful streams. Doesn't mean you don't work hard, because he still has to renew your strength, right? He guides me along right paths. I could tell you I've spent way too many years pushing down wrong paths, not sinful paths, just wrong paths, trying to figure this out, making this thing go for myself, by myself. And all the while, it's like, I just keep in step with Jesus, and this whole thing becomes a lot easier. See, when I'm out of alignment, right, I am a mess, right? If I'm very honest with you, I say when I'm out of alignment, I'm probably not the easiest person in the world to live with.
You can ask Barb later. Right? I'm just not. I just know that I'm not. But when I'm aligned with God's plans, then I flourish. I need the little flower picture there. Wait, there you go. When I'm aligned with God's plans, I flourish because then I'm exactly where God wants me to be. Right? And it's like, I wish I had learned this lesson 25 years ago, but I didn't. And so, you know, I was in the special education class learning this stuff for way too long. But I'm learning that if I could just stay in step with Jesus and let him take the lead and trust him, I still got to work hard, right? I've still got to work hard. I still got to do my part. But when I follow along with him, then things flourish. And when I try to push, they blow up on me over and over and over again. So number one, I learned about my need for alignment. Number two, I learned about the discipline of focus. So this might be a surprise to you, but I sometimes have the attention span of a gnat. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. Oh, what's on social? Oh, what's in my email? I just do, right? And I had to learn how to discipline myself around staying focused on what God had called me to do. On the days when things were going really well, and on the days where it was just, there was nothing there to even hear the echo, right? It's just like, I had to discipline myself. Waiting required me to discipline myself to stay focused on what God had promised me to do. Because this is what I learned. I learned that all of my friends who had gone waiting, I've got this friend right now. We've known each other, gosh, for way too long. For a long, long time. We've known each other. It's like, got a great job, you know. He said, "Yeah, I really want to support you. I really want to support what you're doing. Really." I said, "Come on, we'll get that done. Let's. Hey, what about that thing we were talking about? Yeah, I'm praying about that. I'm praying. I said, I'm waiting on the Lord. You're not waiting on the Lord. You're lying your face off to me right now. Okay, you're not waiting on the Lord, right? I learned this that waiting doesn't mean I just check out. Waiting doesn't mean that I check out and just do nothing." Waiting means I stay focused on what God has called me to do, and I do the parts that I can do within the space and the realm that I have, right? I do those parts, and as I do those parts, I tune my heart to what God wants to do for me, what he wants to do in me, and what he wants to do through me. I want to stay focused, right? It's a huge thing, right? Kind of life lessons from somebody who's finding success way too late in life, you know. But because here's the danger of distraction. Here's the danger of distraction. Distraction leads us to, number one, lost vision, right? I can't even tell you how many times I could have been distracted and gone to do something other than what I knew God had called me to do. And sometimes great opportunities, sometimes lousy opportunities, but it was like, distraction would come. It's like, if I go down that road, I'm going to lose the vision God's called me to do. If I go down the road and I don't tend my passion, God, you've called me to do this. I don't know what it looks like. It's all fuzzy and hazy, and you know, maybe it's even foggy right now, but I am going to keep my passion for what you've called me to do in place. If I lose my vision, I lose my passion, I promise you I miss opportunities. I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing, right? And ultimately, and we see this over and over in our lives, we see this over and over in the church, we quit, we settle, apathy takes in, atrophy takes over, right? And we become a shadow of what we could have been. This is a really important life lesson for the church right now, for City Light, right? It's like we're in this moment, it's like, what do we need to do? We need to stay focused on what God has called us to do. Who has God called City Light to be? What has God called City Light to do, right? And as we look around the room at each other, we go, how are we partnering together to make sure that we're not losing our vision, to make sure that our passion isn't being displaced? How do we make sure we're not going to make hasty decisions and jump into something that we shouldn't do? Friends, don't quit. Don't settle. Don't let apathy and atrophy take over. Lesson number three, stay focused on God's plans and promises for your life. I had to do this. I had to do this because I kind of felt all of the distraction stuff taken over in my life. And it's like, you know, didn't have an office to go to, but I put a suit on. It's kind of funny, right? Because in the church, all I wanted, I just fought to, we didn't have to wear suits to church anymore. And then I leave the church ministry and now I put on a suit just for fun, you know? But I would put a suit on. And I would walk around the legislature and I would envision what God was going to do in that place. I'd walk around and I'd pray. I'd go to the fountain across the street where all of the coats of arms are on the wall or on the stone wall there. And I would envision that we had chaplains doing ministry in all those places. And we're not in all those places yet, but we're almost there. And I would remind myself, God, this is what you said you were gonna do for me. God, this is what you were calling, this is what you called me to do. These are the promises that you made me. Jeremiah writes this in Lamentations chapter 3. I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. I have hope. So we're in this 52 days of prayer right now with the church, right? We got 2 weeks left. Sometimes 52 days of prayer becomes a bit of a grind. Sometimes it's like, ugh, this starts to feel really, really long. Friends, let me press you back to this. Maybe this lights a fire for you, right? Remember what God has called the church to. Remember who God has called you to be. Remember who God has called you to be within the church, right? And find hope in those moments. Sometimes you've got to see it by faith. When I walked into the legislature, the BC legislature for the very first time, it was all faith. There wasn't a single thing. I mean, we had a board. We might have had a bank account, right? But it was like there was nothing. There was nothing, and all that we had was what we saw by faith. And today, by God's grace, everything that we have is because we had faith. Because we had faith. I say live tenaciously towards the promise. Do not give up because it's hard. Do not give up because there's difficulty. Do not give up because you're not sure of what tomorrow looks like. Live tenaciously towards the promise. God will take care of you. God will provide for you. God will make a way for you. Then I learned about the benefit of rest. Waiting allows us to rest. The psalm says, he leads me to green pastures. Rest is good for us. I'm not a good rester. I'm not a good waiter. I'm not a good rester, right? But for me, rest means I'm just going to be busy doing something else. But rest restores our inner man, and it's really okay for me. It's because all of my work is head work and heart work, but mostly head work, and so for me to be able to do something with my hands, right, even if it's twisting a throttle on a motorcycle, come on somebody, whatever it is. Like I'll be honest with you. The two places that I absolutely love to be in terms of giving myself time to rest and be refreshed are on my motorcycle and on my bicycle. Mostly on my motorcycle, right? And not because I like the way it sounds, even though I do, right? But because nobody can get me. I promise you, if I'm on the motorcycle and you call me, I'm not stopping. Okay? I promise you, if you text me, I'm not checking it. All I'm doing is enjoying the moment and reading and riding. But reading, I am not reading. I might be reading my speedometer, right? But that's about it, right? Right. Reading. Here I go, down the road. Bam! You know? But rest restores our inner man. We need to rest. Somebody gave me this book. It's called The Rhythm of the Sabbath. I hate it. It's been on my shelf forever. I read about half of it. Hated every message in it. Can't throw it away. Don't ever want to finish it because the message challenges me in ways that are just so very, very uncomfortable. It talks about how we all need a rest. Yeah, but I don't like to stop, but we all need a rest. We need a rest. We need a rest. Rest is good for us. It restores our inner man for the journey ahead. It brings healing, renewal, and rebuilding. But resting isn't rusting. Resting isn't rusting. So if you've been resting for 20 years, you're probably rusting, right? And it might be time for you to get back in the game, right? Finally, let me talk to you about the foundation of trust, right? This is a previously unseen footage of Nate and Del practicing their wedding reception dance, right? Except in the dance, he had her on his shoulders. But you know, waiting requires us to surrender. Waiting requires us to surrender our agendas, our plans, our perceived roles to God's timing and God's providence. Control freaks, I'm talking to you. Okay? Give up control. When we're waiting, it means I got to give it up. I got to let Jesus do his thing. Because there's nothing I can do. He's arranged it so there's nothing else that I can do. So I just have to give up control and trust God to do what he promises that he will do. So here's the very painful, right? Okay, that's all. That's just kind of warm and fuzzy. That's hot chocolate and marshmallows on Christmas morning, you know, kind of a thing. But it's like, here's the reality, is that Jesus is pretty serious about this control piece. Right? Jesus is pretty serious about this control piece. And so he's not going to kind of give us an easy out. Oh, he doesn't want to give up control. Oh, that's okay. We'll make allowances for him and carry on. No. No, Jesus goes, oh, you don't want to give up control yet. Well, I'll just turn up the heat on that a little bit more. So you can really feel that scorch, right? Because Jesus, I can tell you, by painful and personal experience, has ways to make obedience very appealing. Jesus has ways. He does it all with a loving heart, but he makes obedience very, very appealing by making our circumstances very, very uncomfortable. And so here's the reality. We don't see the fulfillment of God's promise to us until we fully yield to him. You think about that for a minute. Think about how many times in your life you refused to yield because you wanted it your way. And imagine when that didn't work out well. Imagine what it could have been had you actually yielded and let go. Ouch. Ouch. So here's two life hacks for you. Barb gave me that lingo. I was just going to, you know, hashtag it. But she goes, no, use life hacks because that's what all the cool kids do. So here's two life hacks. Number one, hashtag let go and let God. Hashtag number two, Jesus take the wheel. And then give me this slide, last one. Not that wheel, Jesus. Not that wheel. But here's the thing, right? Jesus is going to take whatever wheel he wants to take. You can hold on to this one if you want to. He'll just take the back one or the front one. Right? Because he's mean? No, he's always good. But he just does whatever he needs to do to get us to where he wants us to be. Jesus, take our wheel. God, I love this church. I love that we get to have fun together. I thank you for friends who feel like family. I'm thankful for all of this. But we're in this season right now where you're calling us to wait, where you're calling us to trust, where you're calling us to yield and let go, you're giving us an opportunity to focus on your plans, even though we don't see the fulfillment of those things right now. And we got some big choices to make. We could choose to hold on to our way, or we can let you have your way. We can choose to be afraid and double down, or we can choose to surrender ourselves to your care and your plan, to your paths. We can be stressed, work hard, and push, or we can let you lead us to green pastures and still waters so that we'd be nourished for the journey ahead. God, we want to move forward with you. We want to walk with you and run with you. We want to be a part of this next chapter of City Light. We want to be a part of fully embracing every good thing that you have for us. Every good thing that comes as we're patient and we wait for you to lead us to it. So Jesus, help us. Be gracious with us. And lead us, we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to hand it off to Doug in a minute, but before I do, let me just say one thing. I have come to love Doug and Claudio in rich, rich ways. These guys are awesome. And they did not sign up to be where they happen to be right now. Right? This is not where they wanted to be. So let me put on, I don't put it on very often. Let me put on my pastoral hat for a minute and just be very pastoral with you and say this. What would really bless them right now is if you could just purpose in your heart to be a source of blessing and encouragement and honor with them. Didn't ask me to do any of this, right? But if you could just, especially just blessing, encouragement, and honor. Let them know that you love them, right? Speak words of blessing over them, right? Put all of, you know, whatever you think is important here right now, push all of that aside. How can we partner together? How can I play on the team? What can I do to lighten your load? That is going to make their lives a whole lot easier through this season. Could you do that for me? Let me be your friend. Could you do that for me? Oh, come on. That's lame. There you go.